Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
The town of Fairburn Point is nestled near the Kirkman Channel. On the other side of the Kirkman Channel is a place known only to the locals as the Lonely Tower. A imposing presence on the horizon. Something that people would best just forget.
As you leave to go back on topside, bye.
I told him to do that. Bye.
Tipper leans in to Jim and says, don't trust it. Don't trust it.
I'm friendly.
Jim nods and leans back and says, in the drink.
Oh, no.
What a fish. Once that thing's in the drink, maybe we can even just order it in. Her, the rest, an easy strangling.
The rest?
But wait for the signal. Our agent needs to know when we're ready.
Agent? Oh my god. I say nothing, but if I could have an expression on my metal face, it would be one of stress.
Fish, you're able to very carefully thread the line of letting the sails out just a little bit so that they can catch some air, but not enough air that they tear the fucking masts off.
Great.
It's not an easy job, but you're able to do it. It's very, very scary as well, because once you open it a little bit, then the wind begins catching it, which is what you want. But that also, the wind catching it kind of tries to, the wind is trying to force the sails open at the same time. So you, once you've opened them a little bit, there needs to be constant tension. You cannot let go. Your hands begin aching.
Well, there's tension, all right. I'm stressed. Caught big fish before.
Yeah, yeah.
Not, like, often, but it's this is worse than that.
Sure. The rain comes down heavier and heavier and heavier. The wind begins to pick up even more and more. At a certain point, Fish, you don't believe that there could be more water to rain down upon you, and yet more water keeps coming down. And then the worst begins to happen. Thunder kicks up water all around you. At one point, Fish, you see the thunder reaches down into the water, strikes something big, and that big creature, whatever it is forced to dive even deeper as the lightning splits it asunder. At first, you think it's a whale, but then when it's split asunder, you see many, many worms, and you turn back to your work.
Oh, my God.
Adam, in the hold,
what?
In the rowing area, I gotta get this information to Fish. I'd like to, okay, I need to know, how much, like, if I stop rowing, will we sink?
If you stop rowing, you're not sure. You have no all right, I'll roll, but it's with disadvantage.
Yeah, that's okay, I'll take that.
Because you really, like I said, all you could see is the back of Tipper and Jim's heads.
Yeah.
Do you have, vehicles water, so I'll make this a vehicles water check.
Okay.
So you're aware that you will not sink if you stop rowing, but if you stop rowing, you will... You're not like the only power, but it will be very noticeable. The ship will slow down very quickly.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. I just need to get word to Fish.
Okay.
I stop rowing and I'm like, maintenance error, maintenance error.
Okay, so I've got some bad news.
No.
Yeah?
There were some things that
I've been misled.
There were some things that Sir Helpful had not considered.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to capsize, but so you know how on a wheel, right? You know how on a wheel, in the center of the wheel, there's actually not a lot of movement compared to the outer rim of the wheel.
Sure,
because the inner part moves a little bit, but then the outer part, to match that movement, moves quite a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So down in the depths of the boat...
Yeah.
So Helpful, you slow down a little bit. But up on the mast. Fish, you and Mr. Bellany slow down quite a lot.
No.
Ooh, the top part of the ship lurches forward. You and Mr. Bellany both need to make dexterity saving throws. Oh, I should note as well, just so that you're aware, obviously Captain Belbarum is at the helm of the ship, but also there is, where are they? Coke and the Matrix Revolutions.
Yep.
Yeah, of course.
Coke would be, as a halfling, is kind of just darting around on the deck itself, making sure the rigging is all working and everything's going fine on the deck itself. And then the Matrix Revolutions is manning the harpoon gun.
Cool.
All right. Good stuff. Just in case anyone was curious.
Yeah, we need to know where everyone is. Yeah, fair enough.
So, both of you are going to need to make dexterity saving throws. Poor, okay, both of you do. Both of you pass with flying colors.
Oh thank God.
The ship lurches. Not only are you able to, maybe you incorporate holding on to the rigging as well, keeping the sails where they should be. Maybe you incorporate that into your, into how you're keeping yourself on the fucking mast. You've kind of like lashed yourself and you're using the tension to force yourself onto the mast. Mm-hmm. So everything is hunky-dory, but you notice a very quick reduction in speed. Captain Belbarum from down below calls out, "What the devil is that? Cook, check it out." So helpful. The hatch to the deck opens up, and Coke climbs down. "What's going on?"
"Maintenance error."
Jim and Tipper both staring at you with kind of a look of disdain, look up at Coke and give a big shrug. "All right."
"Where is Fish?"
You say that?
"Yeah."
Coke looks at you and...
"Maintenance error."
I get a bad boy card.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What is it?
You have to say.
"Does that rock look familiar? The players become lost."
Oh, no.
Ain't playing it now.
Just, yeah, got that up your sleeve. Good stuff. Good stuff.
That's good to know, because even if we do really, really well at finding, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, because we could just get lost at any second. Yeah, good.
Not only that, but Coke looks at you. Coke looks at you and he begins shaking on the ladder in fear.
I just continue to say maintenance error.
Coke climes back up. All right. Fish, you see Coke run over to Captain Belbarum.
Oh, fuck.
Coke runs over to Captain Belbarum and says something to her. She nods and then looks up at you, Fish, and you can tell something bad has happened.
Oh, no. Okay, I start running down.
Captain Belbarum points, as soon as you start trying to get down, Captain Belbarum points at you and says, "Stay where you are, Miss Fish."
But I think, as I said, it's, you know, it's secondhand, but I think my crystal's going off a little bit. So it's not strong, but I think that's what's happened. I should fix him.
She looks down at Coke and says, "Take her position." Coke starts climbing up. "Hold your position," she says to you. "Come down when you are relieved, not a moment later."
Yes, I'm doing that. It's all good.
Coke takes up the rigging next to you. You can see he... Yeah, you can see he's quite clearly spooked and specifically at about you.
Okay.
What's up? What's happening?
"Front and center, Miss Fish." You climb down? Or are you going to talk to Coke?
Be quick. I start climbing down slowly. Like, what happened?
Coke shakes his head. He refuses to respond. You can make a persuasion check to try and get him to talk, or an intimidation check to try and make him talk. But that is not climbing slowly. That's not climbing. It's up to you.
Coke won't kill me. She might. I go down.
Yeah, that's fair point.
Fair call.
She fucking might.
Yeah.
As you approach, the rat once again is staring you straight in the fucking eyes. And right before you get up to Captain Belbarum. The rat turns around, still staring at you, and whispers something into Captain Belbarum's ear.
I think she of nods. Cats really hard.
Sorry?
I think of cats. Really big ones. And I think about how I own 10 cats.
Captain Belbarum leans in to listen to the rat and then kind of nods her head. And as you're coming up to her, she starts muttering something. You just catch the last... Well, actually, no, it's... raining and windy. Yeah. Hang on, I'll make... Obviously, you're trying to listen, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. Couldn't imagine in a million years you
would
not...
attempt a privacy, yeah.
You catch just like a little snippet. A little snippet of it is caught on the wind and rain and makes its way to your ears.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I will keep an eye on them both.
That's better than I thought. Honestly, that's better than I thought.
Kind of a win, yeah.
Captain Belbarum, when you're standing in front of her, says, "Your man downstairs, something's wrong. He's calling for your name."
Oh, yeah, I told him to do that. Let's go.
As you're climbing downstairs, Captain Belbarum calls out, "The Matrix Revolutions, you have the helm." The Matrix Revolutions lets go of the harpoon gun and sprints towards the helm. All right, the two of you climb down, and you're now looking at Sir Helpful.
Okay, how do I convey that now we need privacy?
"Perhaps your magic man could be assisted by me," she says. She opens on her belt, she has kind of, I wouldn't describe it as a utility belt, but her belt has many pouches on it. She opens up some of the pouches and takes out a set of tools, which need... Actually, Fish, you have no concept of these tools, but Sir Helpful, you have you have like a NAMM flashback. You're lying on an operating table or the equivalent for an iron golem, the equivalent of an operating table. And you can see some dwarves hovering around you with almost identical looking tools.
I feel like I might be about to lose my sentience.
What's he been saying? What have you been saying?
Maintenance. Error.
I thought you told him to say that, says Captain Belbarum.
Fish told me to say that I needed fish.
I'm talking to fish, thanks, Sir Helpful.
I told him to call for me if he got stuck. Remember? I said he should get help. He didn't do a very good job, did he? All right, that's fine. He called for me. I've told him that before. That's fine. I told him that. The error codes are different for everything.
Your story is full of holes, and Captain Belbarum is absolutely...
It's getting worse.
My story is a beautiful net, and I'm catching fish, baby! No, that's what I meant when I said... That was what I meant when I said I told him to say that. It was about I told him to call for me.
Yeah, that is true.
Captain Belbarum is not buying this.
Okay.
No, I can fix this. Give me a moment. Jeff, like
Captain Belbarum passes you the tools.
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay.
Just catching each other's eye.
She walks right behind you a solid tock, tock. Right behind you as you walk up to Sir Helpful. When you get there, once again, in another one of her pockets, she pulls out that ruby, which she begins playing with in her hands. You can hear a subtle static electricity coursing through it. And then she picks up the rat and puts it down on one of the seats.
Okay. If only we had a genuine telepathic bond.
It's very funny you don't. Yeah.
That's all right. I'm looking at the tools. Where's like the sharpest one?
You've been given a set of 8 tools, I would say. So one of them is a kind of like it's got a hook to it, but it's also a blade that kind of ends in a hook. Then also another one of them looks like a trowel, like a three-pronged trowel. Yeah. It just looks like a trowel to you. Another one of them is just a long, thin one, which gets really thin and pointy at the end. Then two of them are just different sizes of some sort of like gear with like a gear, what do you call
wrench?
Them? No, no, not a wrench. A like the rolly things.
Oh, I know what you mean.
With spiky bits at the end.
Yeah.
sometimes for leatherwork, sometimes for fucking.
Yeah. I forget the name of them.
Wattenberg wheel.
Yeah, kind of like a little device with a pinwheel at the end with various looking spikes. The spikes are not uniform. They're different sizes. One of them is slightly bigger than the other one. Yes, there would absolutely be a wrench, maybe an adjustable one as well, and a screwdriver.
Okay.
Am I hollow?
Have you ever cracked yourself open?
No, I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know what's inside.
I would say something that you definitely, I mean, I don't know how like comfortable you two are exploring each other's bodies, as it were.
Yeah.
But so helpful. You have a heartbeat.
Okay.
What?
It's concerning.
If you put your head up against Sir Helpful's chest and listen, you can hear he has a heartbeat.
What the hell am I?
It definitely would have been a situation in which I wanted to see if Sir Helpful could pick me up.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I imagine there's lots of situations where I have to grab you and we run away from something.
Oh, yeah. Rife with them. So I probably know you have a heartbeat.
Uh-huh.
But that's probably all you know about what's going on inside Sir Helpful.
This is a very tense situation.
So what
right
I was
now.
Going to do, what I was going to do was grab the long, sharp one, the really long, sharp one, find a part of him that looks a little bit cracked and open because, you know, you wash up on a beach.
Yeah,
so it's not
I've seen better days.
So, and just start wiggling it really slowly as though I'm trying to like pick a lock. But what I'm trying to do is guide it through so that I hit nothing.
Okay.
And just find cracks. So I want to grab.
I'll call that a dexterity check. You obviously, because you're not proficient with these tools, you don't get your proficiency bonus. But you do get a +3 for your dexterity.
Can I help? By shifting my body in the right way.
All right. I will allow you to make a deception check.
I'm so bad at that.
To try and do that. Yeah, you are.
My charisma is -1.
If you succeed on the deception check, and I'll make it a DC, let's say 12.
Okay.
If you succeed, then Fish gets advantage. But if you fail, Fish gets disadvantage.
Because
Fish needs to cover up for the fact that you are obviously trying to help.
Yeah. Maybe I don't help. Maybe it's better if I don't help.
It's only slightly less than 50%.
All right, no, I'll help.
All right.
I'll help.
So your deception is -1.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to get at least 13. Actually, it's a bit less than 50%. Oh, okay. Disadvantage.
Okay.
Disadvantage, but you get a +3, and you also only need to get 12. So you only need to roll at least a, what's that? 9. If you roll at least a 9.
Yeah, that's easy.
You're fine.
Oh my fuck.
Beautiful.
You missed out on a good boy card, but you're fine.
You're just like, oh, he's jittery. He's just jittery. That's sure, all. Sure. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm poking you in his bits, you know, these gears and stuff. So what I do is I wedge that long, thin one really slowly in, again, with all the finesse of picking a lock, trying to miss any major screw key, bit of wood, bit of flesh.
Sure.
And I want to get it as far down in as I can until I can feel...
Highs or lows?
Highs.
So hopefully your chest pops open.
Oh, I make like a strangled. Oh!
You see, you have like a big one solid piece of metal that forms your chest plate.
Yeah.
That trunk pops open, exposing some more shifting ones underneath. Obviously, these shifting ones, they're still hardened, so they still look quite tough, but these ones are not as impenetrable because they're meant to move with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can see there's some clicking, whirring gears behind them. You can kind of see in behind them as well. There's some clicking, whirring gears. And now that the big single chest piece has come off, if you didn't know that Sir Helpful had a heartbeat before, you know he has a heartbeat now. You can hear kok-konk, kok-konk, kok-konk. And then you can see something red behind the gears undulate and pulse in time with the heartbeat.
I'm so frustrated that I can't look. I gotta keep looking ahead. I need to, this is a crazy thing to learn about myself.
At that moment, I'll roll for you, Sir Helpful, but Fish, you would just notice because it's happening to you. Mm-hmm. All right, both of you, you spot this, Sir Helpful, and you notice it, Fish, as well. The rat has crawled onto your arm and is just clinging onto your clothes and it's just getting a good look into your chest cavity.
I know we have no psychic bond and there is no crystal in your brain, but I think with every inch of my mind, don't let the rat go in me.
The rat looks just comfortable the rat appears to be comfortable to just look.
Okay. Oh. Hey, what are you doing? Who's this guy? What's his name?
If you look down at the rat looks up at you. You turn around?
Yeah, I talk to him. I'm like, oh, who's this guy?
You're not an accomplished spellcaster. You must be to have been able to work on such a creation.
Again, secondhand. So I didn't have to do a lot. I've been really winging it. I'm going to be honest, I've been winging it. And sometimes this happens. But he's great. I mean, I wouldn't trade him in.
His name is Little Drop.
Oh, does he like a little scratch?
Okay.
She gestures.
Deep drop and
okay,
little drop.
I give him a little scritch.
He turns his head and allows you to scratch him.
Oh, you're so a bit helpful, special, aren't you?
It's helpful watching you scratch the rat being like, oh, my guts are exposed. You are distracted. This could not have gone any worse.
When you turn back to look at Captain Belbarum, you can see that Mr. Jim and Mr. Tipper have both stopped rowing and are curiously looking at the insides of Sir Helpful. You can see, Fish, that as they stare curiously, there's kind of, it's more than just plain curiosity. You can see that they're thinking a lot as they stare at Sir Helpful. There's like gears chugging away in their brains.
Can I see this as well? That everybody's started...
No, it's obscured by Captain Belbarum to you.
Okay, damn.
I turn around and hold the big long pointy thing. You want me to do you next? I'll do it.
The Jim gives you a very... Well, they both give you very unpleasant looks. But Jim... No, actually, neither of them say anything. They just stare at you. They give you the... You're probably quite used to this, but they give you the look that any person of Fairburn Point gives someone that they consider an outsider. You know, they're just not straight up. I mean, obviously, if you stab them, they'll respond. But short of stabbing them, they're not going to give you anything.
I turn to Captain Belbarum and say, tough crowd. At least the rat likes me. Won over the rat, didn't I? I give him a scritch on the top of his head this time.
He accepts that.
Yeah. I think seeing that this didn't work as a way of imparting the information, I just start rowing again.
There we go. Chest
still open. Yep. Nah. Okay. I've seen what the problem is. Okay. Stop now.
I stop.
Yeah. I go and tap on some of the chests and like maybe wobble one of the plates a bit.
Highs or lows?
No, I tap on like a gear. I don't tap on the heart.
Highs or lows?
Highs.
Oh, no.
You can't reach the heart. Highs?
Highs.
Okay. You tap on one of the gears and then shunk, the chest plate springs back into place. You need to pull your hand out before it's crushed.
There we go.
Oh, that's right. I've been told to stop. I don't start again.
Yeah, no, sometimes what happens is just look, you can see his wood. Sometimes it's the salt air. The salt gets a little bit stuck and you need to get some airflow in there to unclog the stuff. It's good now. It's good now. You can start again.
Start rowing again.
Of course, says Captain Belbarum. Tell me. I've never seen. She turns around and gestures for you to follow her back up to the deck. I've never seen Iron Golem with a beaten heart. Do you know what that's about?
No. Again, secondhand.
She nods. This is for the first time. She accepts that you don't know what... She accepts something that you've said just on the face value of it. She accepts that you don't know what that beating heart was.
No.
A curious thing indeed, she says. She gestures for you to go up first.
Thanks. I'm going to absolutely be taken apart by this pirate crew.
Oh, do you give the tools back?
Oh, yeah.
All right. She rolls them back up into... They came out of like a leather case. She rolls that back up and then stuffs it back into one of her pockets.
Nice.
She also gestures for Little Drop, and Little Drop climbs onto her hand and then from her hand down her arm onto her shoulder.
I had two friends this month.
Yeah.
That's something I say in my mind.
The golden cod is tiring. It's beginning to get slower and slower and slower as its heart rate gets faster and faster and faster. Boom, 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 boom. For such a massive creature, a heart rate of this speed is simply incredible. Obviously, we don't really have that much of it because we're quite small in comparison. We don't really understand the scale of this, but imagine a heart that you could stand in at that speed. Boom, 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 boom.
Fucking hell.
The golden cod's heart is moving enough blood to drown a family through the cod every second.
Wow.
The creature behind it gets faster and faster. It does not seem to be tiring at all. It grabs and pulls, grabs and pulls, grabs and pulls. It gets close enough for 1 second that instead of grabbing and pulling, it tries to reach out and grapple the golden cod. One of its many tentacles wraps around the golden cod's tail, and for a brief moment, the golden cod feels... It feels itself kind of shrinking. The world around it begins to morph and move as whatever this creature is, it's trying to take the strength that has been given to the golden cod. The golden cod, though, kicks once. Well, as best as a cod can kick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But kicks once and forces itself out of the creature's grasp. It begins swimming as hard and as fast as it can, but it's beginning to slow down.
Ooh. But we need to kill that. Yeah, I want him to live so we could get him.
We gotta get it first.
Back on the deep drop, you climb up onto the deck, and Captain Belbarum calls out, "Cook, stand ready to change spots again." She looks at you and she looks at you, fish, and says, "Resume your position."
Thanks. That didn't go well. I go back. Yeah. How do I talk to...
Yeah, we should have a telepathic link.
That would be so helpful.
Maybe we can get a crystal put in your brain. We'll see when we're back in town.
So you will both need to make another roll. So helpful, so help me God.
Am I getting another level of exhaustion? I am, aren't I?
Oh, no.
You have 2 levels of exhaustion.
I gotta stop soon. What's the maximum you can have?
Depends how you look at it.
Of all the ways to die in this game, that's funny.
Getting just worked to death in the fucking bowels of a ship.
So, Sir Helpful, you can see that ahead of you, Jim and Tipper are quite clearly not pulling their weight. They, at certain points, they just stop rowing, and they just aren't generating enough strength that it would have been obvious anyway. They really, honestly, they weren't trying
it's
from
kind
the
of been
beginning
me the whole time. Really, yeah.
When they stop, it's not even really that noticeable, to be honest. You incur a second level of exhaustion.
Yep.
And that means that your speed is now halved. In addition to, you have disadvantage on ability checks.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah. So when you said what's the maximum you can have,
yeah.
So there are 3 levels of exhaustion, but there are 6 levels of
the
exhaustion.
The 6th is dead?
The 6th is death, yeah. So yeah. Okay. I don't know if you'd count the 6th
as
a real level.
Yeah,
it's more like the condition
death. So I've kind of got 3 left, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before things go really south.
Yeah. Meanwhile.
Okay.
Up in the masts, you, fish, will need to make also a really important check. Okay, you're fine.
Fish just been surviving?
Just
these?
Has been rolling better than you.
God damn.
I'm on a boat. This is my natural habitat.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's that or under a bridge, baby. And I don't see a bridge.
And then, fish, you need to make a perception check. Okay, you spot shapes in the water. The sea here, the water here, is already quite dark. And then with nighttime, with the heavy blazing rain, it's already quite hard to see anything. Do you have dark vision? No, you're a human.
No.
Are there lanterns on the ship?
There are, yes.
Okay.
So you are really only able to see by the lantern has at the aft and at the bow, there are a lantern. And then there's maybe 1 or 2 lanterns on either side, port and starboard. And then, probably would also be a lantern, sorry, at the base of each mast. Mm-hmm. But you are not holding onto a lantern. And there's no lantern. No lantern would survive, to be honest, up here. So you are very in the dark up where you are right now. You're only able to see by the dim light being cast by the lanterns below you. And in that dim light, you can make out in the dark sea shapes. Four of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're about the size of maybe a dolphin. There's two kind of in line with the front of the ship and two in line with the back of the ship. And they're swimming, quite obviously. They're swimming not as a dolphin would, even though they have dolphin size, which would be kind of like in an up and down motion. They're swimming more like a fish from side to side.
Ooh, ew.
Or a shark, actually, also moves like that. At one point, one of them crests and then goes back down in, and you get a view of it. You see, it's not like a fish. It's not like a shark. You see layer put upon layer put upon layer of hard chitinous or chitinous. I forget how to say it. Whatever. Chitinous. I don't
chitinous. No, you're right.
No, chitinous.
Yeah, chitinous sounds better.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah.
You.
In your world, it's chitinous.
Chitinous. I'm saying chitinous.
Get fucked.
I don't fucking care. It's
yeah.
Chitinous.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, it's chitinous, or as
what does
heathens.
That mean?
Sorry?
like an insect shell.
Yeah, like an insect or a crab or a lobster.
You would describe it as a chitin. Or as some people might say chitin, but they'd be wrong.
They would be incorrect, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's the plates. So plates upon plates, kind of like. Imagine scales, but they're much bigger and they would be made out of the same substance, or they would appear to be similar to like a lobster or a crab shell. Does that make sense?
Skiddly bob.
Yeah. Like a butchie boy?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a butchie boy. Yeah, so you can see that it's something like that. It when it crests as well, you can see it has four limbs, front limbs and back limbs. They come up into a point and then go back down ahead of it and behind it, kind of like a grasshopper, actually. So imagine the limbs of a grasshopper.
I'm there.
And then as it goes back down under the water, you see a long purple tail with knobs and pokey outy bits, stuff like that, which comes down with it. This, now you don't know exactly what this creature is, but this is absolutely the sort of shit that the people of Fairburn Point typically ignore. This is, I wouldn't say that you've ever seen this exact creature, but it would not, it is not the first time you have seen something and then your brain has immediately told you to forget what you saw.
Okay, so I don't know what it looks like specifically, but I know it doesn't look like my business.
Certainly, yes.
Okay, well. All right.
Okay.
You stay in your lane, we'll stay in ours. No fucking issues.
No worries.
All right.
They seem to be following you for a little while, but then, sure enough, they peel off.
Ooh, that's what I thought.
Yeah, nice.
Then you see a dark mass of lots of little things beneath the ship. It looks like a school of fish, but then when they surface, it's just many tiny ones of the bigger ones. This time you get quite a better look.
Does it look like worms again?
No, these do not look like worms. All right, I'm going to show you a picture.
Uh-huh.
Cass, feel free to describe. This is the creature. It's the same creature you saw before, but it's much smaller versions of it, and there's a lot of them.
All right.
What?
Getting down with the chitinous.
Yeah.
So, I want you to imagine that those scales, the chitinous Adam described, were made out of the skin of a dinosaur.
Yes, very true.
It's giving Walking with Dinosaurs CD-ROM.
It's also got a kind of bat-like visage almost.
Yeah.
In like its general shape, but then the big curly tail has this gross hook at the end that looks like a sort of slug a bit.
But it does have a hook. So I was imagining sort of like a crab where every bit of it is made of a different bit. It's all made of that weird, wrinkly, slightly dinosaur tough looking skin. It looks like it would be really tough to get through, like you'd need a saw.
Yes, absolutely.
And yeah, when you say knobbly bits, it's more like spines.
Yeah.
This is very dinosaur.
It's almost teeth coming out of the tail in a way.
Yeah, it's very teeth.
There's no consistency to them as well. They're kind of just pell mell coming out. They're not even pointing in one direction.
The back legs also kind of fade into the whole shape of the body. So. And it's got no eyes either. Just a horrible
Something that I noticed that you maybe aren't 100% aware of, but if you notice down here where it's holding the skull.
Yes, now where it's holding the human skull.
On its chest, it actually has two hooks which kind of function a little bit like hands.
Okay. Nasty so stuff.
The skull hooks, that's good.
Yeah.
Now, we've mentioned its maw.
Yeah.
What we haven't mentioned is it's got two of those sideways teeth coming out.
Pincers.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, pincers. Yeah. It's a pincery animal.
Yeah. It is. Honestly, looking at this now, I'm shocked it swims.
Yes, me too. I can't imagine it in the water.
It swims quite proficiently. Speaking, though, of swimming and then also in reference to the skull that the pitcher is wearing, in among the rabbling mass of them, a big one, one of the ones that you presumably saw earlier, pushes its way through.
Mm-hmm.
And then with its long arms, you see it clings to the side of the ship. Fish. Then, in those two little hook hands on its chest, up near its head, you can see it is holding a skull, which it moves out and then clunk, 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 it knocks on the side of the ship. When that happens inside the ship, Sir Helpful, you hear a on the side of the ship. Jim and Tipper listen for a second. Then Tipper stands up, walks to the side of the ship.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Fish, you just see the creature, it knocks the skull a couple of times, then waits. You're not hearing, not even with a perception check, you cannot hear this over the din around you. The creature waits for a moment, then as it does it a second time, you see it kind of glances upwards. And it does not spot you, very thankfully.
Good, 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 good.
Tipper gives one more knock, and then outside, you, Fish, see the creature let go, fall back into the mass, and then all of the mass falls away.
Do I, like...
If only you had a psychic connection.
Well, you actually had that crystal in your brain.
Oh, I'm so sad I don't have that crystal in my brain.
It wasn't an elaborate lie. Do I know what knocking on the outside of the ship could refer to? Like, do I have any kind of frame of reference for that?
Hi.
Mermaids?
There are a great many creatures that it could be.
Okay.
I will roll...
Ones that could, I guess, specifically communicate with a person.
Well, are you assuming... You're just not assuming that it's a alien creature.
No. So, but he's communicating with something. Yeah. So,
this
could be too many things.
It could be too many things, and you don't even know if all of them are real. To be honest, mermaids might only be a theoretical thing for you.
Yeah.
Don't actually know. You were born sexy yesterday. Yeah, you don't actually know mermaids are
a thing. Good point. It's a good point. Yeah. Okay. I guess I just stay quiet, but I just don't have all the pieces of the puzzle yet.
Sure.
But I assume he's communicating with whoever he is also planning the mutiny with, so...
I mean, he said wait for a sign. This is signy.
Is that the sign?
A signal? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Maybe I... Oh, no, but I don't want to stop rowing. I don't want to get split open again. I'll keep rowing. I'll just keep rowing.
All right.
Oh, I'm going to get another level of exhaustion. God damn it.
Okay, then you need to make another perception check, Fish. All right, this time it catches you by surprise, as it does you, Sir Helpful.
Uh-oh.
The ship lurches forwards.
What?
Like it's falling.
What?
Whoa, what?
The bow of the ship begins dropping downwards. At first you think you must have struck something and you have begun sinking.
Uh-huh.
That is your first impression. Then Captain Belbarum grabs a rope near where she is at the helm, and she starts pulling at it. I would say, Fish, you can only see it, but so helpful, you hear ding, ding, ding.
Is it ding, ding, ding?
No, it's ding, ding, ding.
What was three dings?
She did not give you an instruction for three dings.
I don't know what three dings means. I just keep rowing. I know what one ding, then two dings means.
Also, no, you don't. That wasn't a command either.
Yeah, but so helpful heard, right?
The Matrix revolutions! Below decks! Tell them reverse! Reverse!
Up in the mast, you need to make another perception check to actually see. All right. You finally see what's happening. There is, in the sea, a bowl. A
hole. What the fuck?
It's just water. It's all still just water, but it's like a big bit of the sea has just been
like
scooped out. Yeah, like
ocean.
A crater in the sea.
God.
And you are precariously teetering over the edge. The hatch to above decks explodes open, and the Matrix Revolution sticks his head in. At first, he looks at Tipper and Jim. Then he quickly ratchets his head around to look at you, Sir Helpful, and he screams, "Reverse! Reverse! Reverse!"
I start reversing.
Meanwhile, Captain Belbarum screams up at Arthur Bellany and at you, Fish, "Close the sails! Close them tight!"
I close.
All right, both of you are going to need to make strength checks.
Oh, God.
It's a good thing I'm strong.
Good thing I'm not at disadvantage because I'm so tired, right?
Yeah.
Right?
You did pretty well, actually.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah, both of you do really well.
Okay.
All right. Fish.
Help.
Fish, you grab the rope. Maybe the rope's part of like a pulley system as well. You grab the rope, and instead of just trying to pull, you grab and then let go of the mast. Whoa. You begin falling, and the mast slams shut.
That's cool.
Meanwhile, Sir Helpful, you hit full stop, and then begin slowly reversing the ship. The ship begins slowly bringing itself back from the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you feel as the front part of the ship, the bow of the ship, begins slowly lifting itself back out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Captain Belbarum begins pulling on the chain again. Once again, Fish, you can only see it, but down below decks, Sir Helpful, you hear it.
Yeah.
Bing, bing, bing.
Okay, hard left. Hard port.
You begin rowing hard port.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say Jim and Tipper both take... They're actually properly
trying
this
now. Time? Yeah. That's good.
I'm going to say rather than disadvantage, you just roll normally.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Is it great, Adam?
The ship begins falling onto its starboard side.
Uh-oh.
You need to try again?
Yep. Adam, did it
what's
roll?
Happening?
The ship is now completely on a diagonal angle. Things begin sliding across the ship. You're going to, so hopefully you're going to need to make a check just to stay where you are.
Oh, God.
All right, you managed to hold on. Thankfully, you've got the oar right in front of you.
Do I think it'd be worthwhile kind of putting because I'm quite heavy and big, putting the bulk of my weight on the other side of the ship to help us tip?
You could try, yeah.
Yeah, I'll do
that. If you fuck it up, though, you're going to fall.
Right
now, you're able to stay where you are.
I'll try. I'll try.
Oh, get a good boy card.
Woo! King of the land.
You manage to force, pulling yourself up along the rudder, you manage to force yourself onto the port side. And then Jim slips and he hits the other side, but Tipper is able to stay where he is and he keeps helping.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, on deck, you're going to need to make some important rolls.
You're going to fall in the sea. Oh, my
All
God.
All right. We're going to go with Arthur Bellany first.
Okay.
Arthur Bellany's fine. Mm-hmm. We'll go with Coke second. Fish, you get down to the deck just in time to see Coke fall onto his back and then slide off the side of the ship and into the water.
Coke, we hardly knew you.
The Matrix Revolutions.
Please go.
The Matrix Revolutions. Holding onto the harpoon gun. The Matrix Revolutions is fine. Hang on, let me just quickly note Coke is dead.
Fine.
I mean, we don't know. He's not technically dead
but
yet.
But none of us are diving in the sea to get him.
He's going to die.
It's die, Coke.
And then Captain Belbarum. Yeah, she's fine as well.
Okay.
And finally, Fish.
What happens to Fish?
You look happy because I've done well.
As you're watching Coke slip into the water, that is when your feet touch the ground and you fuck up the landing. You roll one of your ankles, cry out in pain, and accidentally let go of the rigging.
Good.
You fall down. Similarly, your butt and back finds the wet deck of the ship. You have just enough time to think, no. And then you're sliding off the edge of the ship. All right, you get one more saving throw as you hit the lip to try and grab a hold. Oh, thank God. You are over, you fall, you hit the side of the ship. The ship has like a railing, but you tumble over that. As you're tumbling over, you manage to scramble around and grab maybe some rigging, and then you swing wide. You are off the ship, hanging on to the rigging.
Oh, my God. Are you, because the ship's on at such an angle, could fish like stand up? Oh, wait, no, you've gone in the other direction, haven't you?
Your feet are dangling towards the hull.
Yeah, yeah.
The ship is starboard side is falling into that massive divot, and you have fallen off the side of the ship. You're hanging onto the rigging, and you're kind of dangling in the air. Do you look up or down?
I look down.
You see, Coke. Hit the water.
Oh, my God.
Well, Coke, actually, because of the angle. Yeah. Coke. They skip like a stone.
Down the side of the ball?
Yeah.
Okay. And what happens when I look up? What do I see then?
We'll get to that in a minute. All right.
I guess I'll just keep trying to stabilize the ship.
Yeah. With Tipper, Tipper's help, you still are just not at disadvantage. All right. You begin turning the ship so that the back part of the ship is now the majority outside of the, or hanging over the side. Everyone on the ship hears Captain, when I say everyone, I mean Captain Belbarum speaks. And if you are in the vicinity of the wood of the ship, you hear this voice echoing from the ship itself.
That's cool.
Captain Belbarum screams, "Release the mainsails!" You see Mr. Bellany sliding down the same way that you did, Fish, but instead of grabbing on the exact same rope, he's grabbing on the opposite rope. The sails of the mainmast open up. The entire ship explosively jerks out of the hole.
Okay, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
So, good news, bad news, which would you like first?
Good news first.
Yeah, let's go good news.
Good news. Yeah. You successfully get out of the hole, and you're safe from the hole.
Now, you said you successfully get out of the hole. Is that...
Now, the bad news is... Yeah. There's actually two bad newses. The first piece of bad news is that you're going to need to make another very important check.
Yeah, I was
gonna As this happens, Fish.
Surely,
That lurching definitely jolts you around on the rigging, and you are over the side of the ship still. And then also the main mast is going to be torn.
Yep.
There's really not much that can be done about that.
Yep.
Neulich bei der Versicherung.
Bahnhof.
Sie verstehen bei Ihrem Berater nur Bahnhof? Zeit zu Ergo zu wechseln, denn da verstehen Sie nur.
Einfach.
Denn wir machen Versichern einfacher. Durch digitale Services, verständliche Beratung und einfache Schadenregulierung. Einfach, weil's wichtig ist. Ergo.